Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Because I'm cooler than a polar bear's toenails. Oh, yeah. High noon in the District of Columbia. Fired up to get on the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Talk to our friend, Mr. Santana Moss, fresh off the big win in L.A. Tana Man, what's up, dude?
You rested, bro?
I'm actually about to get on the bike, tell you the truth. That little nap, I had to get up from it because I'd be asleep all day. It was good, though, fellas.
Good, man.
Tana, what was the Quan Martin fumble yesterday? The forced fumble, rather. Really a turning point in that game. How much do you think that play shifted the momentum towards Washington? And how much could that singular play kind of impact more than just that game, like the season?
I mean, you said it. You said it yourself. I mean, it definitely changed the momentum. I think if you look at that particular drive, they was driving and they was already up 10-0. So if they drive and score either 3 or 7 from that drive, we definitely in a hole. You know, we was already in a hole being down 10-0. So I think that fumble was huge, man. And you always hear them talking about ball is life, and that shows you right there that ball was actually really life, you know, because we got that ball from there, and things just changed. And one of the things about being on the road, man, you want to win the turnover battle, but you also want to stay ahead of the chains. And you want to stay ahead of the chains and win the turnover battle wherever you're at, home or on the road. But it's more, you know, it's a conscious effort you have to, you know, think about when you're on the road, especially on the road, because you don't want to be in someone's backyard and losing in both of those categories. So I was pleased to see that we stayed ahead of the chain. We looked like our old self offensively last night more than we have looked so far this year.
And Bill began to get the ball a lot, and then that helped him stay ahead of the chains. And, you know, you mentioned that he has looked like a young Edgerrin James with that little stutter step he has, then he's outside. Yeah. What was your impression of him?
No, so I was listening to you guys earlier talking about somebody took him off their fantasy. He's been on my fantasy since week 1, and I ain't taking him off. But
I love that.
I think it was phenomenal, man, just to see him get those touches. We've been wondering, to see, you know, how they're going to do things when it comes to, you know, spreading these carries out with, you know, Bill, Rodriguez, and Matt Nichols. And you know what? I don't have no questions no more. I'm going to let them do what they do because it seems to be working fine, man. Whoever back there has done the job. But Bill just has something about him, the way he runs the ball, man, that just jumps off the charts. And I want to see him continue to grow. I know he's young, so a lot of those things that people are talking about when it comes to the, you know, the passing game, him being able to know how to, you know, pick up those blocks in those situations and stuff like that, he's only going to get better. He's young, man, and he didn't play a whole season of football last year. So, but I think that's one of those games that I would want to see from him because just like I talked about Luke earlier this year, you know, with his confidence, Bill's going to have the same thing happen to him, man. His confidence is going to go through the roof, and we could probably lean on him a little more.
You were saying that was Ed McCaffrey's son, and Nikki Javala posted something today. It's a play Ed had. Looks exactly like that play yesterday.
I told you, man, put some more respect, man. They just talking about Chris this, Christian this, man. But both of them came from him. You know what I'm saying? Christian and Luke came from Ed, man. Y'all get it right, man. Because, you know, I grew up watching Ed. And I don't like – a lot of people don't give this man no credit. But I watched him in San Fran. I was a 49er fan. And I watched him over there in Denver with Mike Shanahan, though, man. And he was a phenomenal wide receiver, hell of a football player. So I'm loving it, man, because, you know, that's any guy who has a son dream to see his son be able to follow in his footsteps and kind of, you know, be on that stage and make some of those plays. So I know those guys, man, look forward to Sunday seeing both of their sons out there doing their thing.
And, I mean, can you imagine how cool that is to think about this week for the McCaffrey family? They got to watch Christian Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Then you get to watch Luke Sunday. That's pretty special. You know, I think Luke is really starting to show why they drafted him. Three straight games with three big plays, two touchdowns in a row, and then the 50-yarder yesterday. Tana, I thought the throw from Jaden was excellent, but Luke's concentration to bring that ball in was, I mean, as a receiver, when you're trying to locate that thing while you're running full speed away from that thing, how difficult is that? What was that degree of difficulty to you?
You be so locked in, man, you don't even think about how difficult it is. It looks difficult to the person with the naked eye who's watching from the stands or watching on TV, but as a receiver, you relish in those moments. You want those moments because you understand, like, all I got to do is catch this ball. I can feel the guy behind me. I can see his hand coming up, but all I have to do is concentrate and make sure I put my eyes all the way on this ball to my hands. And I was watching that play, and, you know, you always look to see if the ball came out because you never know. Mm-hmm. Because once it kind of touched his hands, I'm waiting for him to roll over and the ball be laying there. And I'm like, I know he didn't just catch this. And I was ecstatic for him, man, because those are the kind of plays that can change your life in this league forever. You know, I know he got touchdowns already this year. I know he ran some kickoffs, you know, dumped some big kickoffs. But, man, plays like that, it changed your mind forever. And I remember Wayne Corbett telling me my second year in the league, it was my second year playing. I made a catch over the middle against New England Patriots, and Rodney Harrison hit me dead in my face. And I got up, I caught the ball, and Wayne Corbett, when I came to the sideline, Wayne Corbett shook my hand and said, congratulations, you're going to have 1,000 yards this year. Because that play right there solidified that I can play on this level, and I'm not scared to go out there and make those kind of plays. So I'm looking forward to Luke, man, to really, you know, light it up every chance he's getting out there.
Absolutely. We'll switch sides of the ball here in a second, but another receiver I got to ask you about. We're talking with our friend Santana Moss, Washington Ring of Fame. You could give him a follow on Instagram at 8 to the 9. Tana joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. For everything that was said and questioned about Deebo Samuel, he has been an absolute stud since he's arrived. You played that position at a really high level. What impresses you most about Deebo?
Just being Deebo, you know, I didn't have no questions about him. I understand the woes we go through as a receiver, as a football player, period. You know, B could tell you, you know, every year's not going to look like the same. And we go through ups and downs. We go through things in our life that sometimes affect our, you know, our occupation or sometimes affect our play on the field. But that's just life. You got to deal with it. You got to roll with the punches. And I saw a guy who dealt with some stuff last year in San Fran and got a chance to get away from it, you know, got a chance to say, all right, if y'all don't think I'm still the same dude, let me go over here and show these guys I can. And I remember being in that moment, you know, having one of those opportunities too when I was in New York. But I think my situation was a lot different because I was kind of just getting into myself when I left New York. You know, I hadn't played my best yet. And so, but just seeing him over here doing some of the things I saw before, you know, I mentioned last night on our post-game show, I couldn't imagine our team right now not having Terry, you know, and then relying on everybody else and not having a guy like Deebo on our, you know, on our roster. I think Deebo has done a tremendous job, man, and I don't expect nothing less from him, man. He's just one of those kind of players. Hide your chains when you're on the field and you see Deebo. He's one of those guys.
you know, you can see why he got the nickname.
Oh, yeah, and you flip it over, man, like Doris Armstrong, and hell, you talk about Von Miller, who plays – a small percentage of the plays, but he got 3 sacks already.
Yeah.
5 games.
Yeah, Von Miller is one. He's in one of those roles where I felt like the Shanahan's put me in 2012, which it was like I was coming in basically to make a play. On that down, on third down, when I was playing a slot receiver in 2012, I literally was coming in because it's going to be my time to make a play. And that's what I look at, with, you know, seeing Vaughn come out there. He comes out there on those dimes. Well, those downs when we say we need you to put pressure on the quarterback and some kind of way get that ball back or get a sack. And, you know, you relish in those moments as a veteran who knows so much about this game. Like, I felt like that's why you need veterans on your team. I hear a lot of people harping about guys being too old. If you understood how slow this game gets for us when we get older, B, this is another question you can ask B.
Oh, yeah.
The game is so slow. You're sitting there like you can just see everything, you know, because we've seen it all. You went through those growing pains as a young buck in the league and learned so much from the guys in front of you, and now it's your time to do that. And so I can just imagine what Vaughn sees, man, being on the sideline and just knowing when it's time to get in there, man. He's like one of those guys, man. He's like one of those designated hitters. Okay, it's my time. I'm going to knock it out the park. And that's what I see when I see him step in the game. I know he's chopping up the bits to go out there and get after that quarterback.
One of my favorite parts of that 2012 season, and there was a lot. That was a crazy year. Robert obviously was a rocket ship. But Santana, in a limited role, catching 8 touchdowns that season. Yeah. That'll always stick with me, man.
Because he knows how to play.
Yeah.
You know? The thing that people don't get, Tanner, the older player don't have all those wasted moments and wasted plays. Young players do because they still learned it. Older player knows. They know exactly what to do to make the play.
We know our days are numbered. And, you know, when I got into that situation, I didn't think my days was numbered at that time. And I know the coaching staff had told me, like, they just saw that they can get more out of me if I play less. And I'm like, coach, if this the way we're going to win, then I'm going with what you say. And lo and behold, man, it was just like one of those things. I would never imagine me having the role that I had. And at one point in time, remember, Pierre got hurt that year early in the season.
Yep.
And Mike told me, no, I'm not going to move you back outside. I'm going to leave you inside. Let these young guys, you know, go out there and earn their keep. And, man, that's why I say I thank the world of the Shanahans, man, because you look at all the coaches now, the young coaches that was under them who are head coaches now, they really knew how to coach the game of football, and they really knew how to develop guys. And that's why, you know, Mike is looked at the way he's looked at for being a Super Bowl, you know, winning head coach, and you see his son, Cal, trying to follow in those footsteps.
Tana, I just did the math. It's always dangerous for me to start doing math.
Yeah, because you're horrible at it.
But hold on, listen to this. That 2012 season, every fifth catch you had was a touchdown.
Woo.
Eight touchdowns on 41 receptions.
Damn.
Damn.
Wow.
That's crazy, dude. All right.
Because he knows how to play the position.
So, specific to yesterday's game, we could talk about Bill and Debo and Luke. I thought Kinlaw and Payne were really good. Dorrance Armstrong is a relatively quiet dude having a monster season. He already has 5 sacks on the year,
yes,
I believe.
Yes.
But for me, Jaden, coming back, I was equally impressed by how you said it earlier. Like, after the fumble, we saw the offense we expected to see, where they have these nice long drives, they get the tempo they want. It's very controlled. It's very poised. I also thought Jaden did an excellent job of protecting himself in that game. You saw him slide. Yeah. You saw him kind of give himself up, go down. What can you say about the maturity of Jaden Daniels in what had to be a super emotional day, being back in Southern California with a ton of friends and family?
Oh, he had a ton of family there.
Yeah, I think he actually showed us. We all saw it in real time, you know, yesterday. That was my first time seeing him play like that. And you knew he was making a conscious effort not to do too much. And that's what you want from your quarterback. Man, we know how dynamic you are. And trust me, those teams respectfully have to respect him, knowing that how, you know, he can beat them with his legs. And that's what I saw, too. Defensively, those guys say, if you watch the tape like we did, you know, leading up to that game, at times they got to the quarterback before. And at times they sent a blitz in there and they would get to, you know, the opposing team quarterback. But for some odd reason, at home, you know, against the Jaden Daniels, who just coming off a knee and hasn't played in 2 weeks, they didn't want to try him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you have. That's the element that we have when you have a Jaden Daniels in your backfield as your quarterback leading the offense. Teams are going to view him differently, and they're going to send different packages, knowing that he can allow this guy to get upfield and use his legs. So I saw that immediately out the gate that they wasn't going to try to, you know, blitz him because they didn't want to get gassed, you know, by a guy with his legs. And then after that first hit or two, Jaden was Jaden. When he changed his shoes, I said, uh-oh. He knows something. He feels something. And from there, you saw the guy, man. But what impressed me the most about him yesterday, that was the first game. And although he's been out for 2 weeks, but that was the first game Jaden threw the ball all over the field like he did last year. Like, you know, we hadn't seen that as much in the other two games that he played in. But that game there, man, he was dealing them. He was throwing them up there, and those guys were going snagging them.
And like you said yesterday, it was coming off of their hand rather fast, dog.
Well,
yep. He had a little extra zip yesterday, though.
Totally. I mean, Jaden completed passes to 7 different receivers.
Wow.
And there were 9 receivers targeted. So, like, to your point, Tanner, like, it's moving around. It's going to lots of different people. It's going intermediate. It's going deep. It's going short. Like, gosh, he must be a nightmare to try to defend. I'm guessing this happened early in your career, Santana, because you're drafted by the Jets and the Dolphins are a division opponent.
Yep.
What is it like that first time you go back home as a pro?
Oh, man, my first time was miserable because my first time was my first year, and I literally hadn't played a game in the NFL yet. My leg was put up the whole from preseason. I tore my lateral meniscus in right before the first preseason game, and I got it repaired, and they told me it's going to take me 3 months to repair it. So I didn't even expect to play that year. And so when I started getting healthy, they was like, all right, we're going to make your debut against Miami. I'm like, what? Debut? I'm not even ready to play yet, you know? So the guy who I was going into that game, I really didn't want to play, to tell you the truth, man. And it's crazy because I actually played in that game. I was nowhere near myself. They tried to make me do so much, and I'm like, man, I could barely stand on his leg. And the next week, I tore my quad. So that just goes to show you, man, how you got to let a guy, you know, one of the things I learned about the NFL, man, they want it now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you look like you're ready, don't get out there if you're not ready. That's why I always respect guys when they don't come to work. Nah, he ain't coming to work. He ain't coming to work for a reason. If he say he's injured or he's hurt, let that guy rest because they want it. If you're on that field, they want what you got. And I learned it the hard way, but at the same time, it was a valuable lesson because not saying that I wanted to be out there. They just saw me back out that doggone brace, and they thought I was ready to go. And lo and behold, I ended up tearing my quad, and I still had to play those next 4 games because now in my head, I'm not going to sit down again saying I'm injured. See what I'm saying? I'm like,
yeah.
Screw this. I'm going to play with that quad. But get back into your answer. I mean, get back to your question. You know, when you're healthy and you can, like, hey, I can go out there and do what I want to do. After that, every time I got a chance to play home, play against my team that I basically grew up watching or play in front of my home crowd, man, I always look forward to it, man, because you just know you're going to have your fans there. You're going to have your family and friends there. And it's one of those moments, man. It's almost like a primetime game, even if it's not a primetime game.
Everyone's like, Terry has a quad injury. You say you tore your quad. What goes into that, and how do you come back from it? Like, you know, I know if somebody he didn't have to get surgery, but you don't want to rip it either. So how long it takes to get back and be healthy?
Man, those things are tricky because, you know, I feel like I tore my hamstring almost every year. And, you know, if you have the right kind of doctor, you know, on your staff that can take care of that, man, you can get back quick. But that quad is like, man, I felt like my quad was worse because it felt like every time I took a step, it was like a biting feeling, like it hit me, like, and man, you don't know how I feel, man, to be 21 years old trying to hide a quad injury, but telling them at the same time I need to get treatment for it. And so I could just imagine anybody going through anything like that. But that's what people fail to realize. When you're sitting home on your couch and you're worrying about a guy and talking about what he got going on, trust me, there's a lot of us go out there and play through some of those pains and you just don't know. But at the same time, I feel like there's guys that's wired like me and B and a Gary Clark that say, look, man, regardless if I'm 50, 60%, that's still better than your guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go out there and give you what I have. But there are certain guys, because you saw Terry do that last year. You know, that's certain guys that if it's hurting to the point where I can't even be 50% of myself or either 75%, I'm not going to go out there and chance it. So you know, I respect a guy like Terry just knowing what he's meant to this team for so long. And, you know, I see a lot of – and I hear a lot of people giving him so much flack for the holdout situation and all that, man. But we know the game. We understand that, yes, he wasn't going to be ready to go out the gate because he wasn't out there with his guys. But don't put that on him and say this is that and that is this. You know, allow him to go through what he's going through. And trust me, you know, Terry is Terry. He's going to give you what he got when you're ready to go. So I'm going to be ready for him when he's ready to go.
Absolutely. Tanner, thank you for making time.
Brother,
I know you didn't get much rest. These red eyes are tough.
Always, man. Y'all boys be easy.
All right, bro. Take care, man.
The great Santana Moss. Give him a follow on Instagram at 82-9. I always enjoy talking to Santana. Just one calm, cool dude with a great perspective. We're going to keep these phone lines going. Jeff Song at 12:45. Lorenzo Neal joins us at 1 o'clock. B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is high noon in the District of Columbia. In a few minutes, you're going to hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt. But right now, we're excited to jump on the Rude Guest Hotline. Talk to our guy, Mr. John Walton, voice of the Caps right here on the flagship Caps radio station, 106.7 The Fan.
A bigger Prince fan than I am.
That's true. That's true. Walton, what's up, dude?
Yeah, I was busy jamming there. Sorry, I kind of zoned out for a minute. That was nice.
Oh, yeah, John. They know what to play when you're coming on, bro.
I know. I love that. I can't tell you how much I love that every time I come on.
Hey, what did you take away from the game last night?
You know, I think there's a lot of things that were fine. The five-on-five play I could have seen a little bit more of. I thought Boston did a really nice job of, you know, keeping tight defensive gaps against the guys. I think they were a little frustrated. Power play could have easily gone their way. They had a lot of chances, and I thought, especially the first couple, I thought, you know, you're facing a hot goalie, and sometimes that's going to happen. So I just hearing from what Tom Wilson and Jacob Chychrun said after the game, a little bit from Ovi too, I really kind of felt, you know, the game was right there, and sometimes you're going to run into a goalie, it's going to make your life miserable. I thought Swayman was excellent last night. I thought LT was pretty good too. I think Thompson was probably deserving of a better fate, but in the game 1 of 82, it's just there's always a lot more focus on that first one because you got the red carpet and everybody's back and everybody's pumped and you want to make sure the party goes the way it's supposed to. But I think all in all, I mean, going to New York this weekend, I real chance to get back on a beam and just tighten a few screws and be on their way.
What was the vibe in there last night? I mean, it was low score until the third. You know, it was just how excited was everybody for the season to start, and then just how did that game continue?
Yeah, I thinking back to, you know, when Wilson scored in the third period, I was like, okay, you know what? This is where the roof caves in on Boston and it caves in on Swayman. They're going to generate momentum off of that. And then it was taken away almost immediately, and I think that was where the game was probably lost. I think if they had a chance to build up some of that momentum, I mean, you could kind of feel the building charge up when that happens. So unfortunate that they didn't really get that chance and a puck goes in the net the other way at the wrong time. But, I think that's, it's going to happen. I think it's always when you've got that many people, coming down, excited to see him, and the building was pretty jammed. I thought it was great. I mean, just, the red carpet over the years is, kind of evolved a little bit where it's always that, special time when everybody comes down early and takes off work early. And, it's kind of fun being out there. We don't get outside much, so it's nice to be able to look up and see some sky. That was pretty cool. And the rain held off. So, it was pretty cool.
So I asked Ted this last night. I got to interview Ted Leonsis, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. This
nice
time
name
last
drop.
Year,
that was nice. That was good.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, he's the owner. this time last year, there was so much focus on Ovi's goal chase, right? And he eventually got home on that, and it was this really, really fun and exciting kind of subplot, maybe even the main plot to the season. That is not the case anymore. I understand, every time Ovi scores, we're going to be keeping track of it. And
you know, he's going to get to 900 here, probably relatively early in the season. Just what is the focus this season when you think about it?
You know, it's funny. It's a question that I started getting the vibe about this time last year, maybe a little bit later, maybe it was the end of October, and talking with Logan Thompson and talking with some of the guys that came in. And Thompson, to me, is always the guy that personifies this best, that kind of chip on the shoulder. You know, a lot of people don't think we're very good. You know, the team was, when you looked at the roster, there are a lot of new faces. How would they assimilate? And I thought they would be pretty good. I'd be lying if I thought they were going to run away and win the division in a walk like the way they did. But, you know, that was a theme that we started to hear. It's like, yeah, well, you know, nobody gets up for the Caps and everybody thinks we're not very good. And, you know, lo and behold, we are. And then you got later in the year and then you had the Ovi chase along with, hey, you know what, this team's pretty good. I thought that was behind us a little bit, just because after 111 points, you'd think so, right? And then you start reading, you know, The Athletic puts out there 1-32, like where do the teams stack up from the very best to the very worst? And in a 32-team league, they've got them at 14. I was like, wait a minute. Like, they were down to the, you know, literally the last 4 days of the season, they could have won the President's Trophy and had the best record in the league, and they have all the same guys back. And why are they there? And I found that curious, but it turns out that hockey players and coaches read those things too. And they're like thinking along the same line. So in being around Thompson, especially, and Spencer Carberry was asked a little bit during the preseason too, it is a little mystifying to them, but I really think that they use that as fuel. And you know, there's a little bit of, hey, listen, we're going to show you. And, yeah, I really believe with the character of the guys in this room, yeah, you don't have this gigantic hockey history that everyone talks about and we'll talk about for the rest of time, but you have a guy they'd like to win for, that same guy. And then you have a team that of guys that came from other places where they want to be able to get further than they did last year. They've got to find a way to beat Carolina. Hurricane's still a pretty good team, but you know, when you look at it across the board, this is a team that should be right there. And you know, people want to talk about the Rangers. I didn't think the Rangers were very good at all the other night. I watched their first game. They got shut out at home to Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is struggling. And they're an older team and don't have, you know, all the horses. And New Jersey, they're hurt all the time. I'm like, well, where exactly did they think this team was going to fall? And I think they use that to be able to say, hey, listen, you know, the we'll show you mentality, I think, runs through that room. Not all of them talk about it, but I definitely have gotten that sense in there.
John, you can't expect a 40-year-old guy to go out and carry a team. Obi will have his moments. He'll have some fantastic moments. But there are a lot of young guys on this squad that seem to be ready to take that step. Is this kind of a situation where it's kind of the changing of the guard? You still got the man there. But still, it's a changing of the guard?
It is, and I think we've seen that. I think you can go back even 2 years ago, B mentioned, you know, they didn't make the playoffs, but, you know, they traded Hathaway, and they traded Orlov, and they got some picks, and they went out and got Sandin. And at the time, they called it the retool on the fly. And, you know, even at the time, I'd say, okay, you know, it's one thing to say that, but, you know, how do you do it? How do you back that up? How do you keep the sun in the sky for Alex in the late stages of his career here? And Brian McClellan and Chris Patrick in a brilliant manner went out and identified, you know, Logan Thompson and Matt Roy and Jacob Chychrun and basically built the best defensive core in the NHL. And I even the people who don't think this team is as good as they think they are, it's pretty undeniable that this is the best E-core around. You've got Jacob Chychrun on your third pair, and he scored 20 goals last year. That's pretty good. And they're very, you know, helpful to their goaltenders. And, you know, I think there's a lot that they do that's really good. That part's okay, but it was, you know, how do you keep that going? And, you know, that's the prospects. And Alexei Proto stepping up and getting 30 goals last year. Tom Wilson getting to 33 goals last year, which was incredible. You know, they've got there's a lot of guys that hit the gas, and Connor McMichael was one too. And now you're looking at, yeah, that changing of the guard too, where you've got, you know, what can the third line do? What's Ryan Leonard going to do this year? First full year in the league. What's Henrik Lapierre going to do? They need that line to be good. That wasn't very good last year. That was the one thing among the team last year. They just didn't get a lot of offensive production. from line three, and you've got to be able to have all lines, you know, contributing and doing what they need to do. But, you know, Henrik St-Pierre had a great camp, and Ryan Leonard's a top 10 pick and comes in. He led all of college hockey in goals last year. So, you know, once they figure that out and once they're able to do their thing, I mean, that's where I think a lot of that transition continues.
Of all those guys you mentioned, of all the really, like, pleasant surprises, if you will, or even like Willie breaking out like that offensively, who of those guys, maybe it's Chychrun, like there's a lot of dudes, Protas, who do you think has another level to hit?
You know, it's funny you say Protas last, because I look at him and skating Billy when I saw, yeah, I mean, and his brother too, right? I mean, you've got to, we're scouring Belarus as we speak to see if there's any other distant relatives or anybody else we can sign up here. Because, my goodness, I mean, Ilya at 6'6", and, you know, he isn't quite ready for the NHL, but he's going to go down to Hershey and get a chance to play 20 minutes in a game. And, you know, just watching him make a move to the front of the net, I think back to preseason where there's a, you know, he's just playing right at the right post and a puck comes to him and he doesn't score, but just so physically imposing. Alexei's skating from 2 years ago to now is so much better, and he's fast. And when he gets going at 6'6", it's tough to catch him. And, it, you know, he got a couple of shorthanded goals last year that way, and a great touch and a great shot, and he moves the puck really well for his line mates. I mean, that's – I think there's more there. I mean, it's tough to say that about a guy that was so successful last year, but I just who's going to stop him? I mean, it's 6'6", and to be able to skate like that, and there's a lot coming in the pipeline. I think it's really encouraging in the what will certainly be the post-Ovi era in the coming years here, where you've got so many guys that they've drafted with size and speed, and, you know, a lot of them are in Hershey already, and others will be there soon in the next year or so. And they're all going to – I mean, it's a good group coming. As good as I've seen in the 15 years I've been here. I don't think it's ever been better than it is right now with what's coming. So a good way to – you know, we were talking about that transition. I mean, that's what you're looking at. And there's a lot to transition to, and I think it's pretty exciting.
The transition – I've said this repeatedly. I've been really excited – and I really like tip my hat to how the Caps have kind of rebuilt on the fly and gotten younger and gotten faster while allowing Ovi to continue to be a big part of this, allowing him to break Gretzky's record. But at the same time, it's like they're rebuilding on the fly. You lose Oshie, you lose Backstrom, you still have Wilson, you still have Carlson, but this thing has really turned over. There's this weird need in our world for everybody to wonder what's next, and I think a huge part of that is wondering if this is Ovi's last year. It's my understanding he's like, man, as long as I'm playing well and we're winning games and I'm a part of that, I'm in no hurry to make a decision. Is that consistent with what you see and you hear, John?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way of putting it, and I think only he knows. I don't think there's anybody internally or externally. I think he will do what he sees best and best for him and what he loves to do and what made him successful for more than two decades and the greatest goal scorer of all time is that he loves to come to the rink and he loves to score goals. And as long as he's doing that, I think he's going to keep going. And if he decides that, hey, you know what, I don't know that I have this in me anymore, then I think that day will come and none of us want to hear it, but then it'll happen. But I truly believe that he hasn't decided. I don't think he has, because, you know, he gets life from being around the young guys. I mean, you know, pass attempts and trying to, you know, he had one in the game last night where he was trying to feed Protas. And I thought, you know, here's a guy who, you know, is 3 goals from 900. And a lot of times, more often than maybe people think, he's looking to pass and looking to lift others up around him. And, you know, I think as long as he's enjoying that, as long as he's doing that, as long as he feels like that's needs to be a part of his life, he's going to do it. So, yeah, I don't know when it's coming. I'm kind of one of those that, you know, he's made my career with all the places that I've gotten calls that I never would have believed. So I'm in no hurry for him to go anywhere. But, you know, I'm just going to live in denial and into myself and saying that this is just going to keep going and going and going. I don't want to think about it.
What kind of game you anticipate Friday night with the Islanders?
Yeah, you know, it's with the Isles, this is, you know, their team in transition. I mean, they've got a new general manager who, funny enough, I know very well. Matthew Darche was a goal scorer and a good one at the AHL level when I was in Hershey, and he took over as general manager. He is an A1 human being, and he's a really good hockey guy. He is going to make the Islanders better, but right now they're not a playoff team. So I think, you know, they've got the number one pick we're looking forward to seeing in this past year's draft, Matthew Schaefer. Defenseman can skate like the wind. He's the youngest D-man, I think, to step in for the Islanders, maybe in their history. Just now turned 18. But they're a team that is, you know, coming off of the last regime of general manager there that, you know, they're old, they're slow, they didn't have a lot of prospects, and they're turning the page and kind of starting fresh. They're going to be good in a couple of years. I have every confidence in the guy that they just hired for the job, which isn't great news for the Caps. But in right now, I think going into that building, there's always going to be the emotion. It's going to be their home opener. So, you know, player introductions and the players or the fans just like here last night, I mean, they're going to be all fired up. But, you know, I think they're going to be fine. And then you got the Rangers on Sunday where, you know, I was not impressed with them. I think that they will get it together. I think they'll be better than they were last year when they just bottomed out. But, you know, they're going to be playing in the back half of a 2-2, the same as the Capitals. So I think if they can go and have a really nice New York weekend, they can come back home in a really nice stretch of games, guys, coming up after this weekend where they're 5 of the next 6 are going to be at home. So a chance to, before the schedule really gets nasty in November, to kind of build some standings equity. And I think they've got a pretty good opportunity to do that.
Do I remember, didn't the Rangers sell off a bunch at the trade deadline, or did they acquire?
There were some. They had a weird year. So Jacob Trouba was there, and they traded him, and they traded Chris Kreider, and they got some pieces back. They've got a really good goaltender. Igor Shesterkin is one of the best in the league. So they're not going to necessarily give up a whole lot, but they don't really have the scoring that they did 2 years ago either. So and they did no scoring in their opener, 100th anniversary, and everybody fired up in MSG, Pittsburgh in town, a bit of a lesser team right now, and the Penguins just spanked them on the nose and left with a 3-0 win. So they're going to be a little angry, too. They've got a game in Pittsburgh on Saturday before playing the Caps on Sunday. So, yeah, we'll see. But it'd be nice to pick up a nice 4-point weekend and a little time in the city on Sunday.
Who's my guy that Willie threw off his back like a lantern fly? Panarin?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, back when during COVID there with the that was like a lantern fly. I like that.
Is that dude drives me nuts. He's a good goal scorer, but he's annoying. Is that dude still?
Yeah,
on the
and
Rangers?
He had a bad year last year, and he's still very talented. I mean, that's something you got to look out for. But yeah, that's you know. Yeah, that there is a little bit of history there with 43 and that guy.
Remember when we were there 2 years ago for the playoff series? He was pretty good, and all the fans had like bread heads for Panarin. I'm excited hockey's back, dude. I confess that it doesn't get my full devoted attention till football's over, but it's great to have Caps games on, man. I'm excited.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's funny because, you know, as it started, I was out front last night doing some TV stuff, and you're like that tiny little chill in the air, and then you get up today, and it's like, ooh, it kind of feels like fall out. Must be hockey
yes,
season.
Yes, it does.
So, yeah, time to get after it.
Indeed. Thank you, John. We always appreciate your time.
John. All right. Thanks, fellas. Anytime.
All right, man.
All right, that is the great John Walton. You can hear his call right here on 106.7 The Fan. Caps' next game is Saturday, 7 o'clock in Long Island, taking on the Islanders. You can give John a follow at John Walton PXP. When we come back, Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury address the media. Let's see what they say. It's B. Mitchell Finley. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Big opportunity this weekend for the Commanders, maybe to get Terry McLaurin healthy and back out on the field. If you look at their pass game production since Terry has been hurt, it's a little funky because you had Mariota start a game there. And then it was
two games.
Yeah, but Terry played in one of those.
Yeah, that's right.
Terry
got
hurt in the Raider game.
Yeah.
I think Debo has clearly identified a huge role in this offense. And I think, honestly, I mean, you go back and check the tape, I expected Debo to be a really good fit offensively here. I think, you know, the talk of him being, like, out of shape or lost a step from San Fran, I think was
that
just...
That was the fans that were hating.
Well, dude, you kind of, I mean... hopefully it's a very vocal minority, but like you're kind of hearing that. That one dude that calls in here keeps talking about being mad at Terry for being hurt, right? Like, guys get hurt. They're athletes. It's,
yeah.
It's a physical game.
Get a life.
What do you think happens offensively when they get Terry back?
I think the offense gets better. The thing about Terry, and I also believe in Debo, they want the ball. They want to perform. But also, if they see success happening on the team, they're not going to make issues about it. I expect it to become a much better offense because now you have two legitimate guys with experience that know how to do something. Right now, Luke and Jalen are learning their way. They are talented.
It's starting to show you something, too,
but
right?
They're starting to show you things, but I guarantee you, Terry and Debo together, they do things in such a way where it's not like they have to force it. You know, they're not learning their way, which even makes it even easier for those two guys, because when those two on the field, they're gonna command more attention. And now you get the third, fourth guy one on one to cook them. You know, it'll help them out. So I think the offense will ascend, to be totally honest with you, because like. When Terry is there, Debo understands I got a legitimate guy on the other side and vice versa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not, well, damn. You know, they going to start clouding the coverage towards me, and those guys going to get all the one-on-ones. You know what I'm saying? Hell, with Terry's out there, they both may get one-on-one. And we know they going to probably cook most of the guys that they see.
Well, and they're running the ball really well already.
Yeah.
And I think Terry's elite as a play-action receiver. So I think they're – how close to peak performance do you think we've seen Washington through five games offensively? Not very, right?
I don't think it's – I don't know because the first – game or two, nah, they wasn't doing it.
The Giants game, they certainly weren't at their peak. The Packers game, they had
their doors blown off.
Yeah. The Raiders game was their highest point total, but you also had some big special teams plays in that. Atlanta, they were playing catch up, and they were down two scores late in that thing. Were able to kind of get it tighter.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Chargers game
is the closest.
For three quarters, though, because offensively in the first quarter, they were terrible.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been basically a game, three quarters of a game. And last year we saw things click a little sooner, but everybody had been there together the whole time. I think they are scratching. They're not even scratching the surface of what they could possibly be. Because now you look at the running game, Bill emerges. We've seen that McNichols and Rodriguez can get it done. The offensive line now is starting to communicate and gel a little bit better. You know, Zach still is Zach. And with a healthy Bates in the lineup, makes a world of damn difference.
Totally.
So, this thing, they're not even close. They haven't even gotten close to what they could be.
I tend to agree. And then you have a quarterback that misses two games.
Yeah.
Mariota was quite good in his two games. But Jaden Daniels is an elite player. I mean, the throw Jaden made to Luke for that big gain, I mean, that thing traveled 47 yards in the air, and he was kind of flat-footed and released it quick. Like, his arm talent, he can do as a pocket passer. Mm-hmm. For all the talk of the excitement surrounding his athletic ability, which is very real, I thought he did a great job of kind of protecting himself in that game.
Yeah, yeah, the one he threw to Debo in the back end zone. He was falling back with two people coming at him, and he just flicked that thing.
You see that they were
Yeah, I mentioned that to you yesterday.
Rehearsing their celebration.
I guess they were like, tell them, if we score, we're going to do this. They didn't know it was going to come the next play.
I wonder if they thought, like, yo, if we get this look, we know exactly what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. What is the celly? It was pretty interesting.
Like it.
I think you get Terry back on the field is going to get them a lot closer to the group we saw last year that moved the ball really well.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, through five games right now, they are 8th in the NFL in scoring, 13th in yards. If you look
think about that, and they haven't even much gotten close to what they could be.
Right. Last year, they finished 5th in points, 7th in yards. So I think they're probably climbing back towards that. Mm-hmm. This time last year, though, was when they got but through week 5 last season, they had just gone on a 3-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They beat the Bengals, the Cardinals, and then just rolled the Browns at home.
Mm-hmm.
So if they could put together a little win streak now, the schedule's about to get really interesting. The Bears are a challenge, undeniably. Then you go to Dallas. That game, the way Dallas can move the ball and the way NFC East games are usually pretty tight, that at Dallas game, you got Bears Monday night and then the following week Chiefs Monday night. The Dallas game looks like a tricky spot to me. But
handle what's in front of you. Can't worry about the Chiefs. Can't worry about nothing else. Just handle the people in front of you.
But, B, think about this stretch of schedule here. Bears Monday night at Dallas, Chiefs Monday night, Sunday night football against the Seahawks. Then you've got the Lions coming to town. Then you got the Spain game. It is loaded with what's happening here.
I wonder what the travel people are saying now. Remember last year, oh, man, we got – and we didn't have much travel last year.
No.
This year we got some. Are those people upset? I don't have a problem with it.
Last year, B, I don't think we got on an airplane from, like, October to mid-December.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, think about – so after the Cardinals game, and granted, we were out of town for a week, it was home against Cleveland at Baltimore, easy drive. Home against the Panthers, home against the Bears, at New York, I drove. You might have flown. Pittsburgh at home, at Philly, I think I took the train. Dallas at home, Tennessee at home, then the bye week. We weren't from September 29th until December 15th. They had no travel further than...
But there were people complaining about travel.
And
remember that?
Rest days.
I'm like, what the hell are y'all talking about?
Good teams play crazy.
I drive more in a week than they did. They traveled throughout that whole year.
The way you drive, is. Where'd you play golf yesterday?
Out here in Maryland.
Well, we're in Virginia.
We're in Virginia, I mean.
Nobody is less worried about driving around than Brian.
Man, you buy cars because they move. I mean, I'm not trying to save no damn nothing.
Well, you got the electric now.
Still. I drive it.
How often do you have to recharge your car?
Not often.
Like you, I feel like yours barely gets below 50%, right?
Mm-hmm. You got to realize, Jay, I don't just drive to work and back home.
I'm fully aware.
I'm all
aware.
Over the place, bro. So I push it sometimes. But I don't like to. They tell you don't let it get below 20 anyway. I almost let it get below 30, 35.
You know they have chargers here.
I know.
I feel like they'd let a certain...
You know, I normally have a charge by the time I get here. If I didn't have to worry about – if I needed it, you know, I'll manipulate my way.
I believe you will,
learn
sir.
Those things in my, you know, present state.
I want to have a discussion about last year's Bears game and kind of what it did to Chicago and what it did for Washington and how much, if any, carryover that will have. Every football season is a different being, right? Every football season, living, breathing organism, they change over the course of the season. But because of the nature of that ball game, what impact will that have on Monday night's game? Ben Johnson, the Bears head coach, talked about it. His comments are pretty darn interesting. Let's get into that when we return. Neil Greenberg joins us at 11.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right, we are fired up, man. Caps hockey starts tomorrow night. B. Mitch will be there wearing his B. Mitch jersey. I'll be out on the red carpet, excited to talk to players. And it's just, it's always fun once you get Caps hockey kicking off in D.C. and helping us get ready for the season. Ryan Leonard joins us now. Young player with a ton of excitement. Ryan, what's up, dude? How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, man. How you feeling?
Good, good. Excited.
I bet, man. So, you know, last year you get called up towards the end of the season. Obviously, you know, you get to play in the playoffs. How different does everything feel now that you've had like a full off season? You're not playing in college and then in the pros like 2 weeks later. Like, you're just a pro hockey player now. How does that feel?
Yeah, it's great. It's definitely a lot different than at the end of the year last year. And it's really nice to get here for day one when everyone got here at the same time. And obviously it was great to be thrown in at the end, but it was a little bit different than the rest of the team being there for the whole season. But training camp was really fun. All the preseason games were a blast, and we're all just really excited to get going.
How do you feel as a whole right now with this being here all time, season starting tomorrow? How comfortable are you?
Good, good. Extremely confident with the team and with my own game too. So, like I said, just really excited to get going tomorrow and put everything together.
As you get closer and closer, is it kind of crazy for you or interesting to like, okay, I'm in this locker room. I belong here. I can do this. Or did you already deal with those feelings like last year and now it's just kind of normal?
Yeah, I think last year was kind of more of like you're kind of shocked in a way to just kind of be here with the whole chase that was going on at the end when Ovi scored and then being in the playoffs. You kind of have to pinch yourself a little bit and kind of get yourself back to it. But it's a completely different feeling this year and it's a lot better.
So you brought up the chase. Obviously, when you got called up, brought to the Caps late last season, there was like kind of the viral moment of you and Ovi at the bar across the street from BC. And then you had the moment where Wayne freaking Gretzky was looking for you in the dressing room after the game when you got that goal in the game where Ovi tied the record. I mean, was your head just spinning when Gretzky was like, hey, where's the kid that scored?
Yeah, like I said, last year was, any given day you just kind of had to pinch yourself and just kind of get back to it. Just all the texts and all the people calling me after, like, holy crap, that was Wayne Gretzky talking to you and he knew who you were. And it still doesn't really set in. But yeah, like I said, it's one of those moments you don't really realize how cool it is until you kind of look back on it. But no, it was very special and I was extremely lucky.
For sure. Talking with Caps right winger Ryan Leonard here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. So getting into this season, like, do you set individual goals, team goals? What do you want to show to this team that you can be?
Yeah, I just kind of want to be reliable and be with the team the whole year. Show that I can play and different areas and that I'm trustworthy out there. And just try to get off to a good start. The preseason was great, and hopefully get off to a good start in the regular season and just prove I belong here.
You know, Ryan, when I got to the NFL, I basically thought that guys just show up, practice 2 hours, and go home. Okay, I didn't know what the pros did. I had all these different thoughts. What was the one thing you thought about this level when you got here, you found out it was totally wrong?
I mean, it's just completely different. Like, just being in college where you're going to I went to Boston College, and we had class in the morning, and we would skate in the afternoon towards nighttime, and then we would go to dinner, the dining hall with the team, and then go back, watch a movie. It's, you get to this level and you skate in the morning and you get your treatment or the tubs after and you stretch, and then guys have families, so it's a little bit different. And you're asking guys to hang out, like, hey, you want to come over after, hang out? Oh, I got to watch my kid and hang with my dog. Like, it's a lot different than college. So that's probably the biggest takeaway I have.
Right. Have you found, like, some other young guys for you to hang out with now that you've had more time to kind of settle in?
Or since you're the young guy, they want you to babysit.
Yeah, no. You get the occasional call, hey, let's go come over and watch the kids, come play with the kids. But it's great. Love spending time with all the kids and the family, and everyone's great.
And, I mean, you just turned 21 in January, right?
I'm 20.
Oh, geez. All right. So my guess is you live in Arlington. There's a lot to do, but you might have to be 21. Hopefully you can get that sorted out, man. Listen, I know when I was 20, I was still able to go places. So I'm guessing a pro hockey player can as well. I got to ask. I don't know how this works. Was last year technically your rookie year, or
no?
So this is your rookie year.
This is my rookie season, yes.
Wow. Okay, but because you were already up last year, are you still going to get, like, hazed and pranked? Because some of these hockey rookie pranks are pretty well known. Or did you already deal with all that stuff?
No, I have a feeling I had a couple things last year, but this will be the main go at all the pranks and all that stuff.
I've heard, I listened to Split and to Chicklets, and I've heard those guys talk about one of the standard is to take all the furniture out of your hotel rooms. Like, what did they get you with last year?
It wasn't anything crazy last year, just because it was right around the playoffs. No one was really messing around. It was kind of all business. But I've had a couple days where my clothes, I've just gone to go get changed after practice, and they're just nowhere to be found. So,
what do you do?
You find them. you gotta find the clothes to leave. So, no, nothing crazy. I've seen a lot of crazier ones, just like little pranks. We have a good pranksters in our locker room, so you never really know.
Who's the lead prankster? Do you not know yet?
Brandon Duhame has probably tried to get me the most, but I think everyone likes to get everyone.
What is Ovi like for a young player? I mean, you guys, you know. I imagine you've looked up to him throughout growing up, playing the same position and stuff. What is it like to play with Alex Ovechkin?
Again, it's another one of those things where you just kind of got to pinch yourself at the start. And now just having a relationship with him, it's pretty cool to kind of know him and just see him every day and how he goes about his business. It's pretty cool. And again, very lucky.
Is Ovi exactly what you thought? Or different?
Different.
What did you think, and what did you end up finding?
He's one of a kind. You just kind of got to be with him to experience it. So he's one of a kind. He's a special person.
For sure. And I got to ask, so you're a lifelong Massachusetts guy, grew up in Massachusetts, went to Boston College. You get to open tomorrow night against the Bruins. Does that feel any... Does that get you even more excited, or is it just, I can't wait for the opener?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. Being my debut was in Boston, so I already played Boston a handful of times, and to open up the season in my first actual NHL season against the Bruins is pretty cool. So it'll be a fun night for sure.
And then growing up in Massachusetts, you grew up a huge Pats fan, I imagine?
Yeah.
What'd you think of Drake May and that win over the Bills the other night?
He was stoked.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was rooting against that because I was playing Dylan Strome in fantasy, so I didn't want Stefan Diggs to have good of a second half, but he did. So, no, it's always good to see the hometown team win.
So Garnet Hathaway used to come on with us every week, and we became good buddies with Garnet, and he would tell us about the Caps Fantasy Football League. It's a big deal in that dressing room, right?
Yeah, it's big. There's a lot of talk, and we got some smart players on our team.
All
right. Who's in first right now in the Caps Fantasy?
I think it's Charlie Lindgren.
How are you doing?
Dead last.
Oh, dude.
Dead last. Come on, man.
Who'd you draft? Who's killing you?
Derrick Henry's kind of killing me right now.
Well, I think the Ravens are killing a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But hopefully you can switch it around and get me some points.
I'll salvage it for you.
On Wikipedia, it says your pop was a basketball player. Is that Wikipedia is not always accurate. So let me ask that. That's
accurate.
So did you grow up just a huge UMass fan or were you too little?
I wasn't alive yet when my dad was actually coaching there.
All right.
But
Wikipedia is wrong on that, but.
Yeah.
Wikipedia is wrong a lot. That's the one social media thing that is not correct all the time. Believe that.
No.
But if your pop was a hooper like that, what's your basketball game like?
It's good. I'm pretty good. Me and my brother played basketball growing up, but then took the hockey route, and both of our sisters played basketball in college. So
Wow.
We got a good basketball squad at home.
You got quite an athletic family, man. what were like backyard games like? I mean, it had to be pretty rough because I know your brother's in the NHL, right, John?
Yeah, he's with Detroit. The backyard games are they're shenanigans and they get a little hectic. So you always want to be on the winning side for sure.
Have you or your brother ever like actually injured each other, like a broken bone or like have to go to the doctor?
No, the worst injury is probably I ran into my mom in a backyard wiffle ball game and I gave her a black eye and broke her glasses.
And what happened to you after that?
Felt terrible.
How old were you?
I was probably 8 or 9.
All right, wow. You're a little kid.
You're a little kid.
But wiffle ball's not supposed to be full contact, dude. You know that, right?
I was safe.
Well, Leno, man, we appreciate you making time for us. We can't wait to be rooting you on this season. Good luck tomorrow night and throughout the coming Cap season.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right. Take care.
Ryan Leonard, give him a follow on Instagram if you want, @Ryan.Leno_4. Just do not get in his way if you're playing wiffle ball. When we come back, we're going around the NFL. I can't stress enough when we're talking primetime games for Commanders, and I know how ugly it was for a long time. I covered many of those terrible games. I attended some of those terrible games. The Twerk Impact Zone was invented by Antonio Brown twerking in the Redskins end zone. like I think that was the first post-game podcast I ever recorded when Antonio Brown started twerking on a fourth and goal or a fourth down from like the 30 when Big Ben hit him. Like I know how ugly the primetime games have been. But I would also say these dudes now have nothing to do with the past.
Nope.
Nothing. Like, zero. Everything is flipped out here. Look at last year in primetime when it was Jaden and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt. Like, this group last year in primetime,
They won on Monday night in Cincinnati. It was like an announcement to the league. Yep. Yo, we're different.
I was there. Yep.
They lost in Philly on a Thursday nighter.
Yeah.
They won at home to clinch a playoff spot Sunday Night Football against the Atlanta Falcons. Mm-hmm. Then in the playoffs, they won back-to-back primetime games.
Yes.
They beat Tampa in Tampa, and then they beat Detroit in Detroit. Those were 8 o'clock kicks.
Yeah.
That was last year, though. This year, primetime was not very kind. We went to Green Bay.
That's just one game.
Yes, but it's this season. The body of work this season in primetime, ugly.
But we think about primetime because of what happened in the past. And they won 3 last year, well, 4, and lost 1. They lost 1 so far this year. Maybe they're going to win the other 4 again. Positive outlook.
I want to let my man Blake in Wilmington chime in. Phone lines are open here, 800-636-1067. Blake, you still worried about primetime games for the Commanders?
I can't say that I'm worried. As I used to be, that's for sure. It used to be a nightmare whenever those games used to be on. I used to just want to go to bed because I had school in the morning. I'm not as worried now. I like, obviously, where we're at with Jaden. The only thing that I will say about primetime games usually is, you know, if you get a case like the Packers, or you get a case where it's not going you well, all eyes are on you. So the next morning, all the shows, everything's going to be amplified if Jaden throws an interception or something goes wrong. But on the flip side of that, if it goes well, and you win them, then it's great. So I'm not worried about the primetime games as far as flopping like we used to, but you get all the eyes on you, for better or for worse. So thank you guys for taking my call. I might be back for Bleak.
All right.
You're always welcome back.
Can't worry about all eyes being on you the next day. You know, that happens. Yeah, when you got a game that night, people are going to talk about it the next day. So, and you say, with Jaden throwing an interception, if he throw 4 touchdowns, they're going to talk about him too. I mean, can't worry about those things. Get ready. Prepare for the game coming up. To hell what happened last week. To hell what happened against Green Bay. You're playing against the Bears. Don't worry about what happened last year. This year, you got to be better than what they are. Point blank.
I tend to agree with you. I want to ask my man, Jeff Walker. Jeff, do you worry about these night games?
Nah, not at all.
Zero, even after the Green Bay game?
Nope. That was just a bad game for us. Every dog has their day. It's all good. Like I said yesterday, JP, I got ours. Me and mine, I believe in what they can do. I'm not worried about the other people on the other side of the field.
I think that's a mature attitude. Well, I think it's reasonable to be worried about to focus on the team you're playing.
Focus and not worry.
You don't worry.
You got a game plan against
them. You game plan against them, but you try to be the best you can be. You can't be concerned about Ben Johnson. You got to be thinking you're going to do well enough to your best to be better than their best.
I agree with you, man. I am curious if the calls agree with us. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Landfill, where are you at on the primetime games nowadays?
They're a little difficult for me because, you know, for so many years we were so bad at them and we just get clowned on for the next couple of days because of how bad and embarrassing the performances would be. I think we're getting over that a little bit, at least for me, based on last year. The team has been playing better, but, you know, the only time we played on primetime so far this year, it did not go well.
Maybe it's just Thursday night, because Jaden's 2 primetime losses are Thursday night games. Maybe Jaden's just not an Amazon guy.
Also, the last time we played the Bears in primetime, it was a disaster.
That was a disaster. That was also Sam Howell, Ron Rivera. I mean, that was a very different situation. And Dick Butkus died that day. And I think that, honestly, maybe impacted Chicago's, even just the damn will of the universe conspiring against Washington that day. We're going to let the phones chime in. I don't think this should be a particularly big concern. they play the games when they are. Good teams play in primetime all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Washington is starting to establish itself as a good time.
Didn't we want to be considered a big team?
Yeah.
We've always wanted to be considered a good team. You can't ask for it, and then when you get it, you stress yourself out. You know, your team gets to play primetime games. Why? Because they are good now. They got more primetime games this year than they had in previous years. Why? Because they're good. People want to see them. I can't now, once they're in a primetime game, begin to lose my mind going, oh, man, we used to lose. We lost in primetime back in the day because we sucked. We don't suck anymore. Let's think of it. Look at it like that. You know, sometimes you got to forget about your past, man. The past don't do nothing but hold people back.
I tend to agree with you, B. I tell you what, the Odyssey app or however people are listening nowadays must be working, because we had a call from North Carolina and now we got one from L.A. Matt, you worried about primetime?
Hey, guys. I still have a little bit of PTSD from the past ownership group. However, isn't it new season, new field, new team? So I feel a little more confident in that our boys can win anywhere, just like they did last week here in L.A. So thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you.
All right, we're going to keep these phone lines going. We'll let people chime in wherever you are in the country, or our guy that calls from Australia. I don't know if you're awake right now, but if you are, you'll get right through.
Australia.
Yo, we got a guy in Australia, B.
Wow.
I love that dude. Nobody go anywhere. Are you worried about primetime? Lampville is a little. Jeff, not at all. The games are when the games are for me. I know I'd get a lot less sleep, but I think whenever the game is, you show up and you play. And that to me is the focus of it. I think the focus for Commanders fans is hoping the burgundy and gold has way more ups than downs. But if your garage door is struggling to go up and down, that's where Door Pro America comes in. Whatever the issue is, if it's just super loud and clangy, if it has a busted spring, it won't move, call Door Pro America. At my house, we got rid of my old loud-ass garage door, got a new one, and it's one of the best decisions we made on our house. Especially because, B, it looks like we're really starting construction next week, and I'm going to be able to let these contractors in and out through the garage door as they overhaul my basement, which is a giant pain in the ass. But you know it's not a giant pain in the ass? My garage door with the MyQ app. My garage door looks sharp, runs smooth, and it's really increased the curb appeal of our home. Once we have a working basement again, it'll really improve the curb appeal. Door Pro America has been proudly serving the DMV for over 50 years. They can do it all, repairs, maintenance, new installs for garage doors. Do what I did. Call them. Ask how you can save big on repairs with a Door Pro Advantage membership, including an annual maintenance plan to keep everything on track. Call right now. You get $60 off any repair or a full-time tune-up for just $89. Do what I did. Call Door Pro America. 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
You can check out the website, doorproamerica.com. Be sure to tell them J.P. Finley sent you.
B. Mitch and Finley on a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. We generally don't start the celebrating until 11 a.m. just to be responsible, but considering all the things that happened in Philadelphia last night, should you choose to start celebrating now, I ain't mad at you. joining us right now is our friend Brad Biggs.
Bradley.
From Chicago. Brad, I know you've been out in Chicagoland for a long time now, but you're a D.C. boy at heart. Did you enjoy what happened to the city of Philadelphia last night?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that was a hell of a baseball game, wasn't it?
What a way to end.
And just a,
that pitcher better not go back to Philly.
Yeah, just a brutal ending. You, as much as you loathe Philly, like, you got a feel for that cat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just like...
He just had a brain melt.
And they all talk about it. They do PFP, pitcher fielding practice, for hours, day after day in spring training. And the guy froze in the moment. The replays of that were really hard to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Eagles, man, I get they're 4-2. They have a loaded roster, but they've now been outgained in every game they've played, lost two in a row. Just there's trouble brewing up there with that Eagles team.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but I mean, it seems like every year almost they reach a point where you're like, boy, is this, are they close to a tipping point, yeah, right? Is this about to go off the rails? And then the roster is such, and Howie Roseman does such a good job with them that they turn out to be just fine. And Sirianni goes from, you know, the biggest idiot in town to a genius.
Right.
So I don't know yet, but that was concerning. And I, man, with that Jackson Dart, Brian Daboll might just have enough there to save his rear end and keep his job, right?
Yeah, crazy.
Seems like it.
All right, we're talking with our friend Brad Biggs, covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune, knows this Bears team inside and out, been covering the Bears since 2001. Brad's joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. When I knew that Brad was the dude covering the Bears, I'm going back in time here, but it was about 10 minutes before, like, the Schefter and Rappaports of the world officially broke the news on the Montez Sweat trade to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'd say it was like a half hour before that, I saw a tweet from Biggs, watch the Bears for a D-end. And then it was like, bang, right after that. All right, Brad, get us up to speed on all things Chicago. They're coming off the bye week. They've had some injuries to start, but might be getting some guys back.
Yeah, they're doing all right health-wise. You know, there's a Grady Jarrett. They paid him an awful lot of money to come over in free agency from Atlanta, the defensive tackle. He's banged up with a knee. He's been kind of playing on one leg before he missed some time. And so I think there's a level of concern for him. And that's problematic because defensively, they're not rushing the passer. That's what you'd hope he'd help with and getting a push up the middle. They've been atrocious stopping the run, guys. Brutal run defense. It's last in the league. And not only are they giving up yardage, they're giving up explosive plays. They are allowing opponents 6.15 yards per carry, which is more than a half yard worse than the 31st ranked Miami Dolphins. I went and looked at it. I said, when's the last time some team allowed 5.5 yards per carry over the course of a season? And we're still dealing with a small sample size through four games, but right, 5.5 yards of carry. Last defense to do that was the 1959 Redskins.
Damn. Damn.
Yeah.
I wasn't even born.
No. that's how bad it's been. The opponents have been ripping off big runs on them, and then they've also been horrible on first down. Like they're giving up like an average of about 8 yards of play on first down, which you get a 65 yarder here and a 40 yard play there, and it can really screw those numbers up in a hurry. But they've been bad there. Now, in some respects, though, they've been really good. That's why it's hard to figure out. They've got 9 takeaways. I don't know how sustainable that is. They had 4 last time out against the Raiders. Geno Smith's been a turnover machine. You guys probably saw that earlier this season. And they're actually, I got to look at it, but going in the last weekend, they were number 1 in the league on third down. So they've been really good if they can get you in third down. Third and 5 plus opponents have converted 3 of 25 opportunities against them. So it's striking because in a couple key respects, they're terrible on defense right now. And a couple of those metrics that you look at and you say, these are really telling statistics, they're very, very good. They should get a little bit healthier this week. They're getting linebacker TJ Edwards back. That ought to help the run defense a little. And then their nickel cornerback, Kyler Gordon, pretty good player, signed to a $40 million four-year extension this offseason, made him the highest-paid slot corner in the league. He should make his season debut Monday night. He's been out since training camp with a hamstring injury.
Well, you know what people care about? People care about, what is it, number 15? Ever Caleb Ware? 15? Something like that?
18, maybe?
18.
I don't know.
Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. How has it been working for y'all so far?
Yeah, Caleb and Ben have gotten off to a nice start, and that's been one of the impressive things that people have seen during this four-game stretch is the growth and development of the quarterback. It looked, awkward in training camp. You know, the offense was getting, quite frankly, dominated most days by the defense, and you looked at it and you said, I don't know that the defense is a world beater. Like, this isn't the 85 Bears out there. How concerning is this? But Caleb's made some real strides in terms of pocket presence, being able to play in rhythm and on time, and that's been a big boost for him. And their sacks have dropped dramatically. They were terrible protecting the quarterback. Caleb was responsible for a good chunk of those league-high 68 sacks last season. They've been much, much better at avoiding some of those negative plays this season. And so you've seen some development in there. Along with it, the sort of ascent of Rome Odunze, who was also a first-round pick a year ago with Caleb at wide receiver. He's got a touchdown catch in every game so far and 5 total. That's sort of a budding young star in the league at that position.
Yeah, he's been great. Two things that I saw you point out. You've got the ref crew this week.
Yeah.
I saw your tweet earlier in the week. Alex Moore will work this game Monday night. They lead the league in calling penalties. They've got 95 penalties called, and another 22 have been declined. That's 13 more, basically 10, 12, almost 15% more than the number two crew. How much of an impact do you think that will have in this game? And is there anything specifically they call that's going to be just annoying as hell?
Well, the impact could be people be getting home from the game at about 1 a.m. Tuesday morning, right? That's the potential impact. Again, small sample size. It's his first year as a referee. You know, I bet there's a chance you throw on tape of those games they worked, and you're like, yeah, you have to call that hold, or that's clear pass interference there. You got to throw that. Penalty-wise, the Bears have had some issues with that, and one of the things they're really working to clean up is pre-snap penalties on offense. And that was an issue for him in training camp in terms of delay a game, false start, illegal shifts. I mean, you name it, everything was out of sorts. And because they've added a lot of pre-snap motion to what they're doing, that's something that Ben Johnson believes highly in, that they did a lot of in Detroit. And so throwing that on the plate of the young quarterback who's learning a new system. They've got new offensive linemen working with each other. So that's been something that they feel like if they can tighten that up, they can start putting more points on the board because nobody can make a living if they're consistently getting themselves in a first and 15 or situations like that. But, you know, hopefully it's not a dreadful game with flags everywhere or you know who won't handle that well will be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, and I don't blame them one bit.
They're great. Yeah. Honestly, the Buck Aikman pairing.
They call out the refs, which I love.
Troy has entered this IDGAF mode in his career where he's not kissing ass to the league or anything. He's been fantastic.
You know what? I really enjoy them because they call it like they see it, and more times than not, I think what they're saying is what you're thinking as you're sitting there at home watching the ball game. Like, yeah I can't believe how poorly this quarterback's playing, or can you believe how sloppy this game is? Like, they bring it to you. They don't try to gloss over that, and that makes for a good broadcast. It does.
Yeah, I love it.
Last thing, Brad, I don't know how this works in the Bears locker room. In the Commanders locker room all week, starting with the head coach and the quarterback, they have zero interest in discussing the Hail Mary from last year. I think for Washington, that's the right way to handle it because last year means nothing. What does last year's impact, the way that game finished, and then what happened in Chicago after that, what is, if at all, the carryover this year?
Yeah, I don't think there's much, if any. Like some people on social media have tried to label this as a revenge game for the Bears, and a revenge for what? Like the Commanders didn't like take that win. The Bears gave it to them. Like Bears need to get revenge on themselves for some of the ridiculous things that happened. Not just the Hail Mary. Like remember the fumble at the goal line, and I mean there was all sorts of self-inflicted wounds, and things obviously spiraled out of control for the franchise. In the wake of that, they went out to Arizona, played a bad Cardinals team, and lost 29-3 the next week, and it was, you know, all downhill from there. But yeah, they're doing a pretty good job, led by the coach, of sort of compartmentalizing things on a week to week basis here. You know, you try to ask Ben Johnson anything about last year, and he'll just shut it down. Good, bad, or indifferent, he'll say, you know, listen, I wasn't here last year. We've started a new program. We're only concerned about what's right in front of us. And that's an important game for these guys coming off the bye. The Bears traditionally have been hot garbage out of the bye. They're like 1-10 or 1-11. I don't think that's applicable for Monday night because it's a new coaching staff, new team, new season, all that. But we'll see how they come out because they took advantage of a terrible Dallas defense, and the Cowboys were without CeeDee Lamb for almost the entire game. And they got very fortunate with a blocked field goal on the final play against a really bad Raiders team. So how do the Bears look when they have to take a step up in class?
It's going to be interesting, man. I'm excited, and we'll. I know you're excited for the press box in Landover, Brad.
Oh, it's a great spot. That's a great spot.
Good news, it's a night game, so they won't be serving the runny eggs. So we'll see what we get in there.
Yeah, but I mean, with the night game, it really probably shouldn't be a whole lot of traffic either, right?
In Green Bay?
Here, bro. Give yourself plenty of time,
man,
Brad.
Please.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you making time for us.
All right,
hey,
Brad.
Go Caps.
Take care, buddy.
Go Caps, guys.
Go Caps. Right, damn care, right. Brad Biggs, just an absolutely great reporter covering the Bears and a D.C. boy at heart. Nobody go anywhere. Nikki Jabal is going to join us at 11.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.